Ramsey TV.
Oh, so you want to talk about the two-part Greek word translated religion in the New Testament? Oh, I'll talk about the two-part Greek word translated religion in the New Testament, because the definition of this world, of this word, in this crazy religious world will shock you right out of your religious sensibilities, which is my ultimate plan. This is Martin Sender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula at 5:55 a.m. 5 being the number of grace. 5:55. Oh, they're telling me it's 5:55:55. Yes, grace saturated throughout this show. Although I'm going to come down hard on religion, and once again I have to pick on Mother Teresa, who was the topic of a book published by Doubleday, and it was called Mother Teresa: The Private Writings of the Saint of Calcutta. And Time Magazine then ran with it. It's called The Secret Life of Mother Teresa. I'm going to show you that magazine cover right here. There it is. There she is. Cover of Time Magazine, looking as happy as ever. The joyful saint. Completely in love with Jesus. They used to tell me that the nuns married Jesus. At least the nuns used to say that. I think we were, kids, like, why don't you have a husband? Why aren't you married? I'm married to Jesus. Really? You're married to Jesus? That is weird. Okay? That is weird. Jesus is not here in the flesh. Jesus is not, in any sense, a literal husband. The nuns and the priests, those who take the religious orders in the Catholic religion, end up being sexual anomalies. They're forbidden to marry, and so they make stupid statements like, I married Jesus. You married Jesus. How was the honeymoon? Is he fulfilling his conjugal duties to you? No. But somebody's fulfilling conjugal duties to somebody, only they're not calling it that. Anyway, not to get off topic there. Two-part Greek word translated religion in the New Testament is daimonia. Many of you know this. Some of you are hearing it for the first time. Welcome to my world. This is what I'm fighting for 30 years. Daimonia. That is the actual Greek word translated religion in the Concordant Literal New Testament. Daisi, the prefix, is dread, and daimonia is demonism. Yeah. Dread, demonism. Behind every religion is a demon. It is demonic. Why? Because religion is the greatest tool Satan ever had. How can I say that? Like this. Satan wants to distract people from what Christ accomplished. And the best way he can do that is by causing people to think that they are worshiping God and Christ. So religion puts up a false God in Christ. This satisfies the need for people to reach out and touch something. I'm not talking about Mother Teresa's conjugal relationship with Jesus Christ now. To reach out and touch something larger than themselves. But it's a false God and a false Christ. And these two, the false God and the false Christ, are actually inspired, again, by demonic forces. This keeps people from finding out what happened with the true God and the true Christ. That is, the salvation of all, God's control of the world. No, these things are substituted with things like eternal torment and human free will. Need I say more? So we go back to this dread demonism, the source of Mother Teresa's inner darkness. And if you didn't catch the two previous shows, part one and two, the Mother Teresa syndrome, please check it out. I'm going to quote her again from yesterday. Since 1949 or 1950, this terrible sense of loss, this is Mother Teresa confessing in her little Mother Teresa diary, diary of pain, diary of darkness, diary of doubt, diary of guilt, and diary of I am so horny I could die. Since 49 or 50, this terrible sense of loss, this untold darkness, this loneliness, this continual longing for God, which gives me that pain deep down in my heart, darkness is such that I really do not see, whether with my mind or with my vision. The place of God in my soul is blank. There is no God in me. When the pain of longing is so great, I just long and long for God. And then it is that I feel He does not want me. He is not there. Because you're worshiping the false God. That's the satanic God. The God that is cruel and vindictive. The God who dares you to love Him. The God who threatens to torture you if you don't love Him back. That's a false God. That's a demonic prop up. You worship that God your whole life. That's why you're so scared, Mother Teresa. And that deep longing, that deep hole in your heart is because you never found the true God. Sorry, you never did. It's terrible. He does not want me. He is not there. God does not want me. Sometimes I just hear my own heart cry out, my God, and nothing else comes. Yeah, it's tragic because you are... It was decided by God that you would be a vessel of dishonor, that you would be the poster child for religious zeal, followed by religious emptiness. She says, she finishes this particular quote, the torture and pain I cannot explain. I can. You worshiped a false God and a false Christ. You are a demon worshiper your whole life, Mother Teresa, a demon worshiper. Anyone in the Catholic faith or in any other branch of Christianity is actually worshiping false gods, because these religions, these dread demonism outfits, religion, dread demonism, these people are dreading demons. That's what Mother Teresa was doing. That's why she was so freaked out. That's why she was so miserable, because religion inspires dread. You dread what your God will do to you if you don't honor Him properly. Does that fit the Christian God or what? Yes, it fits the Christian God to a T. It's a dread. It's a dread. I knew someone who claimed to be a believer who was afraid of the return of Christ. Afraid. Why? Because of this false God that is advertised by the demons. I mean, if you go back to Daniel chapter 7, when Daniel sees four beasts coming out of the sea, and these become four, these are four wild animals, and they represent the four major religions. The beasts, it's demonic. Religions are demonic. So the source of Mother Teresa's inner darkness and everyone else's foreboding, for that matter, is the lie that humanity must answer Christ's call. It's not that Christ on the cross was a completed work. No, it's not a completed work, according to dread demonism. It's a call. It's an invitation to finish the work. And here's what the call is. Those who are called dead in trespasses and sins. That's what Paul says. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins must now turn or burn. Is there a little bit of hypocrisy there? A little bit of contradiction? You are dead. I can just hear Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, anyone. You are dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, I say. You're dead, dead. What should we do? Turn or burn. Wait a minute, am I dead? If I'm dead in trespasses and sins, how can I do anything, let alone turn? And why would you threaten me with burn if I'm dead and can no way turn? But that's right, that's what they say. Dead people must do something. Yeah, it's as though Christ is outside waiting in the driveway. Your house is burning down. You're unconscious on the ground. He honks his horn and says, get your ass out here, I'll take you to glory. But you're passed out on the floor, you can't do anything about it. Yeah, Christ saves sinners, He saves helpless people. He doesn't save people who save themselves. Christ honking on the horn, I'll give you 10 more minutes to get your ass out here. Your unconscious ass. If you don't get your unconscious ass out here in 10 minutes, I'm taking off to glory and you're going to be left behind. Yeah, passed out on the floor, dead in trespasses and sins. Helpless sinners. I'll give you 10 more minutes. Why don't you give them 10 more years? Why don't you give them 10 more centuries? 10 more millennia. It's not going to happen. Unless the human being is acted upon by an outside force. And that outside force is God. Now, Here are the rules of Mother Teresa's order. This is really bad. She belonged to an order called the Missionaries of Charity. Okay? And they have a handbook. Oh, yes, they do. And I'm quoting now from the handbook. Here are some of the rules of Mother Teresa's order. Quote, "The general ends of the Missionaries of Charity is to satiate the thirst of Jesus Christ on the cross for love and souls." Can I stop there and comment? When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he wasn't giving his life for the sins of the world. No, no, according to dread demonism, according to this false setup, this false Christ. No, he wasn't praying to his Father. He wasn't dying for the sins of the world. He was thirsting for love. Yes, he was a codependent Jewish male with a personality disorder. In fact, I read an article. You know those Filipinos who have themselves crucified every Good Friday? Perfect example. That's a Catholic. I was going to say anomaly, but no. If all Catholics were consistent, they would have themselves crucified, because that's what they think they owe Jesus. Well, this one Filipino dude had himself. See, they cheat. These damn Filipinos. They cheat. They don't have themselves nailed to the cross. They're tied on the cross, please. And they're not dying for the sins of the world. No, they're putting on a religious display. None of them are naked. Now they have their little cloths on. And then you see them later on having lunch at the cantina. Yeah. What happened to your crucifixion, dude? It really ruins it for me when you don't die. It really ruins it for me. The general end of the Missionaries of Charity is to satiate the thirst of Jesus Christ. Oh, the point I was making was this one Filipino guy, he's on this fake cross with these fake ropes. He's going to be in the cantina later having a beer. But from the cross he says, love me, clap for me, love me, clap for me. Ooh, I am a Filipino crucifying myself. Love me. I'm going to be in the cantina in about 2 hours. Yeah, they got their wristwatches on while they're on the cross. I'll be in the cantina in 2 hours having a beer. Love me. Clap for me. I'm a pretty boy. Jesus Christ is doing this, wanting love? No, he's dying for the sins of the world. But this is what the Mother Teresa's of the world, the Catholics of the world, the Christians of the world, no difference, not much difference, people. That's what they want. They want to do this. Okay, so anyway, the Missionaries of Charity is to satiate the thirst of Jesus Christ on the cross for love and souls by the sisters through absolute poverty. Oh yeah, absolute poverty. Angelic chastity. Are angels chaste? That's what I'd like to know. You tell me the angels aren't having some kind of angelic chastity? Nothing to fill the vagina, nothing to fill that emptiness in the Mother Teresa. She had an empty vagina. She had an empty soul. She definitely had an empty mind. She had I can't say her heart was empty because she did have. Well, yes, I can, because I suspect that when you read these rules of this frickin' order, these nuns are doing this because they have to. They have an obligation. It's not out of the purity of their little pure hearts and empty vaginas. No, no. It's about filling up the need of Jesus, the thirst of Jesus Christ on the cross for love and souls. And the sisters must provide this for the Jesus on the cross who says, love me, clap for me. And they do this by absolute poverty. Absolute poverty. You can't just be a little bit of poor if you're going to be in the Missionaries of Charity. No, you got to have absolute poverty. Angelic chastity. You can't just be chaste. No, you can't just have an empty vagina. Rather, you have to have an angelic empty vagina. I guess the vagina sings, or it's like, oh. And some noise comes out of it that's like a heavenly choir. I don't know exactly how that works. Cheerful obedience. Cheerful. How the hell do you be cheerful if you're absolutely poor and nothing to fill your vagina with? Cheerful obedience. Cheerful. Can I show you again how cheerful Mother Teresa was? she failed her order. Cheerful. Here's the cheerful Mother Teresa. There she is. Oh, she's so happy. She's so happy to be a member of the order. The order of cuckoo nuns. Cuckoo crazy Catholic creeps. Oh my God. Great. Congratulations, lady. You succeeded famously. You're famous. You're also dead. You're also going to miss out on the next eon. I explained that yesterday. Romans chapter 10. Indeed, brethren, Paul to the Jews, the delight of my heart and my petition to God for their sake, speaking of his Israel brethren and sistren, is for salvation. For I am testifying to them. They have a zeal of God. Mother Teresa has a zeal for God. Ooh, she gets all excited. That Filipino on the cross, he has a zeal for God. Love me, clap for me. But not in accord with recognition. In other words, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know what they believe. That's a problem. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, that's the thing. They think Jesus Christ was thirsting for applause and love on the cross. They don't realize that he was addressing the issue of righteousness, and he was taking on the sin of the world to clear it from the world so that humanity could now be declared righteous by God. He wasn't looking for applause or love. People would love him, but it's not because he was there inviting it. He was doing the most serious work of the universe, which is allowing God now to look at the human race and seeing it as righteous. For they, the Israelites, Mother Teresa, the order of wacko nuns, every Christian branch, every branch of the Christian religion, they're ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness. That's what that crazy Filipino dude was trying to do, establish his own righteousness. They were not subjected to the righteousness of God. Yeah, you can't understand or see or perceive the real righteousness of God when you're playing around with your own fake righteousness. You're so involved with your own fake of righteousness, it becomes a block to you seeing. It's starting to rain out here, if you noticed. It becomes a block to you seeing the true righteousness of God. So they're not subject to it. It's there, but they have no apprehension of it. That was Paul. Okay, I'm going to close here. I should finish this tomorrow. No, I'll finish it now. Yeah. Absolute poverty, angelic chastity, cheerful obedience. And we saw that demonstrated with the cover of Time magazine there. There will be no difference among the sisters. No difference among the sisters. Oh, that sounds, almost sounds like a cult, doesn't it? No, I must be dreaming. They must all learn farming, cooking, nursing, and a little teaching. I'm quoting from the handbook of the Order of the Missionaries of Charity. And be ready always to do any of these works if obedience requires. Obey or die, bitch. They must be souls of prayer and penance filled with the simplicity of the Christ child. Filled with the simplicity of the Christ child. There's the simplicity of the Christ child right there. They must be well examined by a priest. Oh, I bet. Boy, that insightful. Well examined by a priest who knows the spirit of the missionaries of charity. I know the spirit of the missionaries of charity. I am quite able and qualified to examine the nuns, and I shall do so to make sure that they are cheerfully chaste and angelically obedient. Angelic purity must be the aim of each sister. And to preserve it, they must have a personal love for the most pure heart of Mary. The ventricles, the aorta, the vena cava, the most pure heart of Mary. I wonder what that is. Anyway, and guard their hearts free from any affection. No affection whatsoever. You can't be fond of anything, because that's a sin. Don't you know feeling good's a sin? However small. Yeah, no affection for anything, however small. For a pure heart will easily see God in his poor and forget herself. Any difficulties or temptations arising from their continual intercourse with the poor. Oh, that solves the problem. Intercourse with the poor. I got it. Must be revealed to the confessor sincerely and simply. And that concludes our review today of the wonderful Handbook of the Mothers of Wacko Religious Bondage, and it is starting to rain heavily now. I must repair to my cottage, and thank you for being with me. Let us run. Let us run from the rain. Let us not run, however, from the refreshing droughts, the droughts, I should say, the pouring forth of God's Spirit upon us that helps us to realize what Christ did on the cross and to reject any fleshly desire to please God, to attain to spiritual things, because only God can cause us to understand what He accomplished.